Reading from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
Sounds like there are some great conversations going on out there. So we are honoured today to have with us Michael, who's going to be sharing with us. Would you like to come up, Michael, and I'll just pray before you share with us. Thank you. Lord, thank you for Michael, and thank you for the message that you've put on his heart to share with us today. Pray peace over him, pray that you give him wisdom, and we pray for each one of us that we have open hearts to receive what Michael has to share with us. Amen.
Hey, morena whānau, wonderful to be here in this lovely space. Thank you, Billy, Caleb and Tim. What a tremendous service, I love it. And I love the idea of having these stations. I think that's a really tremendous way of expressing our desires to God. I grew up in this church, so it's a very special place for me. This was back in the late 90s, I guess. 70s, come on, you're very excited. I'll start that again. I grew up here in the 70s, believe it or not. I know you'd find that hard to believe looking at me. But the reading I've chosen this morning, for all of you who are good Anglicans, you will know that it's not what's down in the lectionary. But I chose this passage because Simeon is an extraordinary man, and he's very relevant, I think, for what's happening right now. He talks about Israel, praying for Israel, for the liberation of the Middle East. We've got the desperate situation in Gaza. He talks about being prepared for death. We've just celebrated, is it All Hallows Day last week, where we remember those who have passed away. And he talks about waiting. So for those of you who just had a chat to your neighbour about your sense of the reading, any ideas? Just two or three, what comes to mind from that reading?
Expectation,
yes, of
Saviour coming.
Expectation of the Saviour coming. Yes. Anything else? John.
Simeon knew that's Jesus.
Yeah. Yes, he knew. Absolutely. Good. Thank you.
It's also interesting that Simeon knew that he had fulfilled his life and said, you know, dismiss me sort of thing.
Yes. So he knew when that, the waiting was over and his life had been fulfilled. Yep. Yes. Fantastic. My goodness. Yes. Wasn't just an ordinary person. He was imbued with the Holy Spirit. Unusual. Anything else? One more. Yes.
And to tell Mary that Jesus was going to die with a sword.
Yeah, that's pretty hard.
She knew what he was saying. And to know that that's what's
going to happen to him. So for those of you who didn't hear, told Mary that Jesus was going to die, that's pretty tough when you've got a little baby in your arms. Yeah. So it's all, it's getting a bit hot, business time, take my jacket off, I think. So One of the themes that's come through is the idea of waiting. And according to research commissioned by the manufacturer of watches, Timex, we all spend approximately 5 years of our life waiting. Whether that's in lines or in queues, at the supermarket or in traffic. And a study in 2019 by a different watch company this time suggested that the average adult spends 7 months of their lives waiting while food cooks and 4 months of their lives waiting for the kettle to boil. And a big one for me, and Benji will know this, is waiting for my family to get ready when we're going away, even for a short outing. I pace, don't I, impatiently while so much faffing around. So 6 months of our lives, approximately, waiting in lines. That's 3 days every year. The average person, they say, spends the equivalent of 43 days on hold with an automated customer service. And I have to say, on Friday, I spent an hour and three quarters with what used to be called Vodafone, while they repeatedly told me that I was one of their most valuable customers. So we have waiting rooms, we have waiting lines, we wait to be seated, we wait as our call is put through. There are books and podcasts on how to cope with waiting and what to do with it. And of course, there are age-old sayings, things like, good things come to those who wait. And some things are worth waiting for. And I'm sure you can think of others. Well, some things really are worth waiting for. My job at Anglican Missions was worth waiting for. I waited a long time for that. I had a career in humanitarian and development, and then to be able to do that, and now with my faith, it's just been worth waiting for. My wife, Jane, was definitely worth waiting for. But there are other things I'm waiting for as well. I'm waiting for an end to poverty. I'm waiting for an end to injustice and to conflict and to war. I'm waiting for the appalling situation in the Ukraine and in Gaza to stop. I'm waiting for a time when everyone will have access to education, regardless of who their parents are, or how much money they have, or where they come from. I'm waiting for a time when everyone will have enough to eat, and a time when there are no more preventable diseases. I'm waiting for those, and I know you are too. But another thing that is worth waiting for, and that's the subject of today's reading, where Simeon waited for his whole life to see the God, to see the Lord. And maybe you are at a time right now where you are waiting for something. Maybe you're waiting for a new job, could be a new home. Perhaps you're waiting for your kids to move out. Sorry, Benji, I didn't mean to say that. Perhaps you're waiting for surgery. Perhaps you're waiting for peace of mind or contentment. Or perhaps you don't even know what you're waiting for. Simeon waited his entire life for something, and he thought it was worth waiting for. We're introduced to Simeon in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. That's it. That's all we learn from that short verse. He lived in Jerusalem, which at the time, as it is now, was the political, economic, and cultural centre of the Middle East. And we learn that his name is Simeon. And Simeon translates as God has heard. That's what Simeon means. So we're told about his physical characteristics, and that's about it. There's not much to go on, eh? You know more about me for 1 minute in my biography than you know about Simeon. But we know that his name, as his name foretold, that God has heard and God did hear and was about to answer him. The next few verses, though, give us a little bit more of an idea of what he was about and the special characteristics of the man, and several of you already have already identified what those are. We see that he was a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel, and that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Three things. He was good, he lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel, which all good Jews would be praying for all the time, and that the Holy Spirit was on him. Other versions say that he was devout, or just, or righteous. The word can also mean someone who was obedient to the word. So Simeon knew the Bible and what it said, and then he did what it said. At the time, the hope and prayer of every Jew was that the Messiah would come and would bring peace and comfort to the people of Israel. And Simeon was like all other Jews in that regard. He was waiting in prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. Prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. And isn't that what we're doing today as well? Sometimes waiting is what God calls us to do. It's not a glamorous task. It's not one that gets anyone a lot of attention. But sometimes it's all that God wants us to do. And whatever it is we're waiting for, Simeon reminds us to be strong and to be patient. And I think a part of every Christian's maturing process is a period of waiting, where you're waiting for that blessing, where maybe you know that God has given you a specific gift, a unique gift that is just right for you. But sometimes you're kind of waiting for it to be explored and to be developed and for you to be able to display it. We've got to be patient and wait, because that will happen. And sometimes God, I think, is just asking us to pause, to put on hold and to wait and be patient. Oh, that's very cool. She's got a gift in percussion coming on, I suspect. Just got to wait a little bit longer, though. As I said before, I waited a long time to be in this role, and I had a friend a few weeks ago, Sarah, who they had their first daughter. They'd been waiting for 18 years. That's something worth waiting for. I've been staying with Dad, as if any of you know, Dad's got a property, and I saw some mushrooms the other day. A mushroom matures in just a few days, and then it's over. But an oak tree, and Dad's got plenty of those, takes hundreds of years. Hundreds and hundreds of years to mature that generations can enjoy its shade. What would you rather be? And as you wait, remember that God has not forgotten you. God didn't forget about Simeon. God wanted him to wait for Jesus, and he did. So we hear that Simeon was good, we hear that Simeon was patient, and the third characteristic, which my friend here said, was that he had the Holy Spirit upon him, which was really unusual. This is before Ascension. There weren't many times in the Bible, and correct me if I'm wrong, where the Holy Spirit was imbued on a person at that time. It was pretty unusual, which means that he was really special. He was especially chosen by God to do something specific. And we learn what that task was, what that specific task was in verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Simeon had been told by God that he would not die until Christ came. That's quite a promise. We're not exactly sure how old Simeon was. Any ideas, anybody? How old was Simeon?
In his 30s.
His 30s? No. It'd be a bit like me. No, he was considerably older than that. Tradition, and I was just saying to Dad before, tradition somehow has it, he was 113, I'm not quite sure why, which makes him even older than Reverend Jonathan. But they say that whatever his age, Simeon had been waiting for God for his whole life, and he was utterly convinced that he would see Jesus before he passed on. And once he held that little child, he then needed to tell those around him. He needed to share what he had seen. He witnessed. He had to talk about the fact that at last he had held this child in his arms. And if you see something really special, then you need to speak out about it. Just like Simeon spoke. And this is what he says. The wait is over, and God calls him to speak. Simeon, who has been on the sidelines and in the shadows his whole life, we don't know anything about him except for now. And he steps forward and he's a witness. The wait is over. God has called upon Simeon to speak. And Simeon, though he has been on the sidelines for so long, steps forward to be a witness. As believers, we need to witness. We need to share the good news. We need to share what is going well. We need to speak up for justice and equality. We need to speak up for those who are wronged. We need to speak up for those who are affected in the Ukraine. We need to speak up for those who are being completely destroyed in parts of Israel and the Palestinian occupied territories and in Gaza. We need to speak up for those who are left behind here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And we're taking a stand at Anglican Missions and sharing the good news, but we're needing to be patient as well. I want to give you three quick examples of projects that we're supporting which require patience. The first one, and some of you may know Bishop Henry Bull. He's been to Aotearoa, New Zealand a few times. He's the bishop of Viti Levu, the second largest island in Fiji. He shares his faith wherever he possibly can. One of the things that we do at Anglican Missions is to support clergy across the Pacific to supplement their incomes. They don't get much money. And most clergy have to have gardens or grow fruit to sell at the market or to share with their families. Bishop Henry's no exception. So we help to supplement him so he can get out and do the pastoral and this kind of work. This is a Muslim gentleman in his village of Draketi who he baptised in the river next to his house. That gentleman, who's a senior elder in the Muslim church there, has now come to Draketi, has come to Holy Trinity Church with his family, and he's now part of Bishop Henry's church. Exciting stuff. He waited for the right time. The second example, as you know, and this church contributed a lot of money, and I really, really genuinely appreciate that. Last year we had a significant volcanic eruption and tsunami in Tonga that affected the entire country. Lives were lost. Complete livelihoods were lost. The whole country, not just Tongatapu, the main island, but the smaller islands too, were covered in up to a foot of ash. This was the day after the explosion. Seriously traumatic. We launched our largest appeal ever with your help. We raised $600,000, which is a serious amount of money for us. We teamed up with seven other agencies, including Tear Fund and Christian Blind Mission. And that project is ongoing. We're still doing psychosocial trauma and support work for kids that when there's a, for example, when there's a thunderstorm, they still get traumatised. They still think this volcano is about to go. But if you look at that sign there, and the next slide, please, brother. This is a year later. This is Taniela. Taniela works for Anglican Missions. He's one of our partners in Tonga. And one of his responsibilities is to manage 23 gardens which are being developed on underutilised church property and other land in various villages across the country. One year later, they're pulling off a crop like that. But he had to wait. He had to wait for this harvest. The third story I want to show you. This is Nadawa, which is an informal settlement on the outskirts of Suva. Suva has a population of, anybody guess? 330,000. Suva is a big city. It's the same size as Wellington and the Hutt Valley. Of that 330,000, it's the biggest city in the South Pacific, more than 20% live in informal settlements like this, where there is no access or security of tenure. There is very little sanitation. There's certainly no electricity. Access to education is marginal. Access to healthcare is marginal. So 20% of Suva's population lives in informal squatter settlements. And a number of those have Anglican churches in them, including this one called Nadawa. We employ a woman, just the next slide please, called Karen, and she's there on the left, and she works for Anglican Missions now full time, and she is an extraordinary person. Craig Harris has met her. She's being recognised as a woman Pacific leader and was funded by the Australian government to go on a course for Pacific leaders. She is seriously impressive. We are so blessed to have her managing our projects in Fiji. So she went to this village of Nadawa about 3 or 4 months ago. There she is on the left. And she spoke to the village elder and said, "What is one thing that Anglican Missions can do for you right now?" And if you go to the next slide, this was the shower that provides a showering facility for this community of about 18 families. And the guy said, the village elder said, "The one thing we want is a half-decent shower so that our wives and our daughters can clean themselves and feel really good and dignified before going to church on Sunday morning, because at the moment we can't do that. So for $4,000 New Zealand, we've got a 20,000 litre water tank and a brand new shower with a proper corrugated iron which provides dignity and privacy. That was worth waiting for. Simple project. So, what do these three stories have to do with Simeon, you may well ask. Bishop Henry waited until his Muslim friend was ready to get baptised. Taniela and the team in Tonga waited for the crops to grow and to be harvested. The woman in Nadawa waited until Karen came so that we could provide a shower. Simeon waited to hold Jesus. And we read that the baby Jesus was brought to Simeon, and led by the Spirit, he entered the temple, and as the parents of the child Jesus brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law, Simeon took him in his arms and blessed God. How cool is that? And this is what he says. God, you can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I've seen your salvation. It's now out in the open for everyone to see. A God revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and a glory for your people Israel. God, you can now release your servant, release me, as you promised. So he realizes, as you said, that his life was now fulfilled. He could now move on. He'd seen the Messiah. He says he can now depart in peace. He can now die with no regrets. His life is complete. I took a funeral a few weeks ago for a lovely 90-year-old woman, and she was a devout Christian, but none of her children were, and that pained her. But all three daughters came up after the service and said to me, Mum was ready to depart. I thought, that sounds like Simeon. And I don't want to sound morbid, and it's not something that we need to focus on, but I think sometimes it's an important question that we should all ask ourselves now and again. Am I ready to depart in peace? If not, why not? Being ready means being at peace with God and being at peace with each other. And that's part of the tradition of the peace that we've just shared. That's what that peace is for, being right with God and being right with each other. And if there's something on your mind this morning that might be preventing you from being at peace, whether it's with yourself, whether it's with God, whether it's with someone you love, maybe you need to restore a relationship with that person, but you've been putting it off. Don't delay. Talk to Billy. Talk to Caleb. I mean, you're Caleb. Talk to Billy as well. Talk to Craig. Talk to other people who you trust, because I just know that they would love to pray with you. Don't put these sorts of things off. Finally, the reading finishes with Simeon declaring that he has seen the salvation and that it's now all out in the open for everyone else to see as well. And it's not just available for those who happen to come from Israel, as he says, not just the chosen few, but for everyone, for all of us here this morning. So, to come in and land, firstly, waiting is part of life, and we just have to accept that. It can be what God wants us to do right now, however impatient we might be. Secondly, waiting can be a good thing. We've seen that with Simeon. We've seen that with Bishop Henry. We've seen that with Taniela. We've seen that with Karen. The third thing, when the waiting is over, talk about it. Don't keep it to yourself. Be a witness. And finally, be ready, be content, be at peace. Don't have regrets. Anglican Missions is your agency. We are you. You are us. We can't do what we do without your prayers and your support. And it's, I don't know how you're feeling, but I just think that our world is increasingly dark. I think it's increasingly chaotic. I think it's dangerous. It's sad. And your agency, Anglican Missions, we're doing what we can to shine a little bit of light into some of those dark corners, but we can only do that with your support. A I just want to show you a couple of photos. Last night I got some photos from Gaza overnight. This is very close to the hospital that we're currently supporting. That's the Al Ali Arab Hospital in Gaza. It's an Anglican hospital. You've seen it in the media. It's been on BBC News, it's been in The Guardian, it's been in the papers here because it was bombed in the first week. There were 500 Palestinian refugees sheltering in that hospital. Most of them had been killed. So our support, our appeal, and again, we're going out with other agencies to do this, is to provide medical supplies, to provide resources, and to help rebuild this hospital. And for the very first time this week, two trucks have managed to get through in what they've called a humanitarian corridor. But these were photos from just the other couple of days. I just wanted to share with you before I finish. Next, please. And another. This is what's left. And another. Thank you. We're in grim times. I want to finish off, though. Some of you may know Canon, what's his name? J. John. You probably know Canon J. John. He's an English pastor. And I like his podcasts. If you want to hear some really fantastic podcasts, dial them up. He tells a story how he was waiting for a flight to Singapore, and he was at Heathrow Airport waiting for his flight. And he sat next to an incredibly smartly dressed woman. And he said to her, "What are you doing? Where are you going?" And she said, "Well, I'm off to Singapore because I'm part of this global accountants finance group, and every year we get all the top accountants together and we meet to discuss new ideas. In fact, you know, we're part of this big international financial company." And he said, "Wow, that's really interesting." And then she said to him, "But what do you do?" And he said, "Well, I also work for a global enterprise." And she said, "Oh, that sounds interesting. Tell me about it." And he says, "Well, we have outlets in pretty well every country in the world. We have hospitals, we have homeless shelters, we run orphanages, we have schools, we run feeding programs, we have hospices, we provide medical and health facilities, we do justice and reconciliation work, we provide homes for the homeless, and we do marriage counselling. Basically, we look after people from birth to death, and we're in the business of behavioural alteration." This woman said, "Wow, wow," she said, "my goodness, what's this called?" And he said, "Well, you might have heard of it, it's called the church." "And we are part of this global enterprise, and I find that so exciting. You are here, Christchurch Whanganui. I am at St Hilda's in Island Bay. We are at Anglican Missions based in Wellington. We are part of this global enterprise, and that's exciting. So stand up for that, be a witness, share your faith." I hope that's helpful. I'd love to talk with you afterwards. This is the very first time in any service that you're actually allowed to get your phone out. If you can just go back to that previous phone. If you want to get onto our mailing list, if you want to see what we're doing, if you want to see how the funding that you give us is being spent, and I promise you, we are efficient, we are effective, we have low overheads, we're making an impact, we're working with a whole raft of other agencies, both here and overseas. We're part of a big picture, we're part of a global enterprise. If that excites you, and if you want to see what we do on a monthly basis, scan that QR and then you'll see what's going on. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Just wasn't. Just been really blessed by all that you have shared this morning with us, and I just would love to pray for you and for the Anglicans Missions Board.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, well, I just before we pray, I just wanted to say we've been really privileged to be able to support things through what Michael has been doing and through the Anglicans Missions Board. We give money every year as part of our vestry. We're about to make those decisions coming up soon when we put our budget together. But also when Billy and I, which we shared last week, were able to go to Kolkata to go see that. That was actually a significant portion was sponsored by the Anglicans Missions Board. So we were able to go and do that because of what they do. We're really blessed by your ministry. Let me pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for Michael. We thank you for his patience in waiting for your call for this role. And we thank you that as you have anointed him for it, that he stepped in, boots and all, for the glory of your kingdom. And we ask for your blessing upon him. Lord, we thank you for where he ministers in so many places, particularly across the Pacific. And we ask for your hand that turns 5 loaves and 2 fishes into feeding the multitudes, that you would do the same with Michael, that everything that gets given gets expanded more and more. We ask that you would touch the work of his hands. And Lord, we ask that you would bless him and his family. And we ask that you would encourage him. In Jesus' name, amen.